My fantastic pleasure to invite Peg to come on in and share with us.
Hello, everyone. I'm Peg, and I am a grateful, recovering compulsive overeater, and happy to share with you my story. I'd like to start with the Serenity Prayer, and I like the long version. And I love that that prayer starts with God, because I've been in the program for 45 years, and yet I'm a newcomer every day, and it all starts with God. And I find this is a spiritual malady, and it's also a spiritual solution that has just changed my life and give me a life beyond my wildest dreams. So God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Taking this world as it is, not as I would have it be. Trusting that God will make all things right if I surrender to His will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with God forever in the next. And so my story begins, and I've shared it before, so some of you may be familiar, but the gift of this program is, and I think my higher power is time is different. And there are times in my recovery and my forced my step work and my even my daily inventories where I have the gift of going back in time and seeing things differently through a different lens than I did at the time. And much of this for me is this program is becoming the adult and finding the parenting that I may not have had at that time because my parents were humans. Or it is being a child and learning to trust and to rely and to believe that a power greater than myself really can do for me what I can't do for myself, and to know the difference. That's just a huge thing because I'm sort of a control addict. I'm a performance perfection addict. I'm a work addict, and boy, all those things, this program has chipped away one layer at a time. So my story begins really way back at the beginning, and I was the fourth of five children. Two were in early teenager, and then a brother a year ahead of me, and then 5 years later, a sister. So, my parents were second generation immigrants, if you will, and they were very capable people, and they started a business, and they did everything they could to provide for us the love and the educational opportunities and the things that they hadn't received. And so they were busy starting a business. My older brother was, and I were in age, but it was often the older siblings that took care of us, and not really took care of us, but they and one of them resented it, so to speak. And so early on, I just do believe that this disease penetrates through cracks, and in that crack, I only later learned about abandonment and why I was sort of on edge all the time and why I started working, watching what my parents did to get love and to earn it and to do it. And then my two brothers, as we grew, they got in trouble and I became the good girl. And that was a good thing because I got educated and continued to work. And I went to faith was very important, and I was they worked hard that we could go to Catholic schools. We did. I loved it. I loved the teacher. I, like others I've heard here, wanted to be a nun. I wanted not only to be a nun, but I wanted to be a saint. And that just seemed like, well, why not? Go for it. I'm going to be a saint. And I read books about it and was so wonderfully inspired and had such an innocent, beautiful faith. And I loved God. And that all worked great until 5 years later when my brother got sick. We didn't understand exactly what was wrong with him and why my parents were stressful, but it turns out is he was the number one grandson and had cancer. And the day before he died, we were invited to the hospital. But before that, I had the mumps, and I was sure it was my fault that he was sick. And this is the disease that just gets in. And I believed I had some part to play in him then dying. And then my mother went into what I could see later was grief, but I then took over responsibility to take care of her so she could love me. And I was going through puberty and my body changed and I didn't like my body. So self-hatred came in. Like I didn't want to be the first to develop, so to speak, because I was different. I just started hating my body and hating me. And then I isolated and I learned things about shame and compare, despair. And so those were miserable years. And yet we went to the way, the way and pay and up and down the yo-yo, up and down the yo-yo. And I was more and more miserable because I just isolated in that darkness and stuffed and ate, gained 70 pounds and in a matter of no time, and hated that. And then I couldn't stop eating. I just couldn't stop eating. And I did at the end of high school have a spiritual awakening with a bunch of friends. It was absolutely wonderful. It's a miracle actually, but I couldn't stop the eating. And so that even felt bad that here I had this great faith in God, but I was binging. And so I have been a binger, because triggers would hit and I didn't know anything except to stuff, stuff, stuff. I remember going to college and at the dorm next door was a factory that made items, and the ones that were faulty were sold for 5 cents, and I bought all of them, and just hid and stuffed on that those items. And I remember then restricting for 40 days before I graduated from college because my family was going to come and see how much weight I had gained. And so I look at pictures and I can see it. But the miracle is that God did lead me then to OA. And there's to this day when I hear "Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, welcome home," I just cry because it's home. And there were other people like me. And so I started the journey of recovery. And I've had wonderful sponsors, although I couldn't stop binging whenever I hit these triggers. So I love the three-legged stool because it is, I had to discover from my head to my heart. And meanwhile, I had a wonderful career. I continued to excel in education and work in one opportunity after another. God just opened doors and gave me the courage. But when it came to this emotional trigger stuff, I always thought, in the basement. I've got to go in the basement. And I didn't know how, and I was too afraid to do that until OA. And that gave me the courage to open the door of my heart and to realize how many walls were there. And there's somebody on this meeting that way back when the illusions have to be smashed. And the big book says that the delusion that I was like other people needed to be smashed. And that perfectionism and striving and working hard was going to get me there. And that was an illusion. I was like Cinderella in the basement, dreaming of prince that would come and marry me away and things would be great. And then feeling shame because I knew that didn't match what I believed with my God. And so OA just provided all of that for me to just gently begin to open that door into the basement and let sponsors know, let others know, but mostly here on meetings that I wasn't the only one and that So everything about program of helped begin to change my thinking and the disease. But there's no question for me, this is a cunning, baffling disease, that it does push-ups, and that it's one day at a time, or one moment at a time at times. So it's my story. I ended up having just wonderful career, but interestingly, I became a planner and a strategist, and that was always about the future, because I learned to protect myself by getting ahead of any harm that might come. And all those illusions, the letting go, needed and have been removed. So I'm come to a place where I just am so grateful for the sponsors I have. I'm so grateful for the steps, because they have gotten me through. I ended up having cancer, which was just a terminal situation, and they got me through. And then I just even remember COVID, that I was working in an industry where my job was at risk, and that led me eventually to retiring. And I didn't see that coming, and yet I became a travel planner. My grandmother, when my brother was sick when I was 10, took us to Disney World, and I was mesmerized by, it's a small world after all. And all these different nationalities and people and cultures. And, I knew Italian and I knew Austrian pastries, but all these different things. And at 10 years old, that seed was planted. And therefore, I've worked with international planning, and now travel planning. And then this meeting alone, having people from all over the world, is just such a gift. And so I am so grateful. I am facing new challenges, and I've come to believe that my circumstances, that's just God's way of growing me. And I love the challenge of growing and becoming. And I love the wisdom that I've received from all of you, and the example and the courage that's given me courage to face fear, because I'm still that little baby that is hungering for love. And I think that's what this program is for me, not the is love. And that's to me who God is too. God is love and kind and gentle. And all my circumstances, no matter what, the good or the bad, are there to form me into myself. And self-love is one of the hardest things, because I've discovered me, but I've also discovered that at times I'm an introvert. And I have this illusion that only extroverts have fun and have a good life, and that I'm dull. And that goes, right back to my teenage years. And those illusions must be smashed on a daily basis for me, because I interpret my circumstances often through those disease lenses. And these meetings help me to see that, no, and I can make that shift. Another thing I heard early on from a sponsor is it's choice, and I did want the responsibility. I took on all the responsibility of caretaking other people, but that personal responsibility for me to make a choice. And the binges always told me it was time to come back to program, and actually they became a gift, because they brought me back to step one, and that I was powerless, and that I am a compulsive overeater. And I would go through fast food places, and I'd go from one to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. And it would be early on, before OA, it would take 6 months before I just gain all that weight and then lose it, gain it and then lose it. But with OA and a sponsor, I could be honest. And then I could binge, because that was telling me there was some inner, it's not what I'm eating, it's what's eating me. and getting all of that cleaned out and restoring relationships. And it's been in a wonderful rebuilding of my life to discover me and to accept me. So God grant me the serenity to accept my circumstances because they're teaching me something. They're invitations for growth. And that's such a new way and a great way for me to embrace them. I have a new health issue right now, and it looks like it is another terminal type situation. And it has to do with cognitive and a fear. I mean, and you all know because I've shared on this meeting, drenched in the fear and the future casting. And I'm no longer professionally needing to be a planner of the future. And wow, this is all about enjoy and live today, do what I can, know what I can't, and trust God for the rest. So I love the three-legged stool, and I've learned that I can't build it, and I can't manage it, and I can't control it. Even though I have different ideas about my emotion situation, my physical and my spiritual, that's totally up to God. And he created me, so he certainly knows how to care for me. So it comes back to believe. What do I believe? Not do I tell myself, but what do I believe? And God help me believe. So what works for me now is oh wow, a lot more program, a lot more program, working the steps around everything that needs working, having a sponsor, being a sponsor, staying connected, staying honest. And you know what I desire has shifted. And I just share with you what I cherish the most is the principles of this program. For the steps, honesty, you know, being honest with my sponsor, honest with myself, honest with God. I have to do two-way prayer. I can't afford to hold ick within me. I can't afford those illusions when they attach to me. And just like I take a shower every day, for me to stay clean is to be with my higher power in conversation and dialogue. So the two-way prayer with God is helpful. Another one is hope, faith, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, self-discipline, love, perseverance through hard, you know, hard, spiritual awareness, and service. Those are the things I've come to cherish that are so important. Because when I'm abstinent, when I'm connected, when I'm useful to others, there's just no greater joy and no greater place than that place. And everything else is circumstance that's helping me be the best form of me. And the traditions, through the traditions, we know unity, trust, identity, anonymity, purpose, responsibility, fellowship, structure, neutrality, anonymity, and spirituality. And those are just amazing gifts. And I believe no matter what happens to me on this earth or when I die, those are just the important treasures that I have that are important and that I can extend to others. But boy, it's work. It's work to restore relationships. It's work to stay. And yet it's so worth it. And I just want to end with a few of the wisdom nuggets that I received that guard your abstinence from one sponsor. If I'm abstinent, everything else is extra. And accept the person and not the behavior for all the relationships issues. If we wrestle with ourselves, we always lose. And a character defect is not a good color on me. And I just love the wisdom that I receive from meetings, from this program, and from my higher power to have a three-legged stool that is managed by God as my employer and my number one desire. So thanks for letting me share.